Couple things, if you, as we start to look at the bulletin, I did not put it in the bulletin, but on Good Friday, we're having our community service with Oswego Evangelical Alliance up at the Alliance Church in Oswego. And also in the back table, there's pens and some pads of paper. If you have a prayer request, you know, you can just write it down anonymous, and we have people that will be praying for you throughout the week. Grief share is Tuesday at 6:30. Home groups are this week. Let's pray. We're just saying, Jesus, you are enough. Help that be the truth of our life. There's a new song I was listening to yesterday, Lord, that talked about, I deserve the cross. My sins, I deserve death. Spiritual death, a separation from you, Jesus, for all eternity in hell. But yet you came, placed the sins of all man on you. And you went to the cross. You paid the wages of sin as death. You paid that. But it's not automatic. I have to make that decision to say, Lord, forgive me. We need to repent, which means I live a different way. Then I surrender my life to you and live fully for you, Lord. Help us to do that as we move forward, Lord, as a church. Help us to surrender. Lord, we have a lot of prayer requests. We give them to you, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord. Pray for Eva, Francis, Sylvia, Don, and Katie, Lord. And for those we don't know of. Just pray for you to move, Lord. I pray for everybody in this room right now, Lord. It's kind of a cold day. It's kind of laid back. Let us get excited in the Spirit for you, Lord. Let us trust you, Lord. I pray for spiritual healings, for physical healings, for mental healings and emotional healings, Lord God. Let us not sit in the gloom, but lift our heads up into the glory of Jesus Christ. We sing about a peace that we don't understand. That comes when we trust you, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would move mightily in our lives today. In your name, amen. Sunday school, you are dismissed. This morning, the title of my message is, We Are Called to Be Holy. I'm going to talk about the full gospel today. You see, because one of the things, you've heard different people talk and mention the progressive church. We need the full gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. What do I mean by that? First of all, without naming names, and I won't do that, there's different ministries that have really fallen by the wayside. By that I mean, you know, they're starting to say, well, you know, the Bible is written by man and times have changed. No, they haven't. Nothing is new under the sun, and God is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. So I want to talk about the full gospel. The gospel is not salvation. I like what a man on staff here, Peter Southcott, used to say. If that was all there was to it, we'd have a Bible in one hand and the gun in the other. And once you accepted Jesus, we'd send you to him. The gospel is surrendering your life fully, denying yourself, Jesus said, and take up your cross, not once in a while, not when it feels good for you, but daily. So we're called to be holy, and I'm going to read from 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 13 through 16. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy, so the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Lord, speak to us today. Let us be encouraged. Let us be convicted, which is you speaking truth to us, of you encouraging us to press forward, that your way is better. That, Lord, when you call us to move forward, you're going to provide a way. Help us to know that and to trust you in that, Lord God. Father, I pray that as you move forward in this church, that we would trust you, Father. When life gets uncomfortable, when it gets challenging, when we feel like we're spent and you're saying, come on, keep pushing on, that we would trust you and do so, O Lord. Touch us today in your name, amen. You know, many companies, when you sign a contract, they have an employee code of conduct clause, which means if you want to work here, you are going to act a certain way. If you get drafted by the New York Yankees, or if you happen to end up on that team, you will not have facial hair. You will not have long hair. That's their code of conduct representation. You know, these codes make employees aware of the company's core values. The NFL has a player misconduct policy. You can live life however you want. You just might miss out on millions of dollars. You might find yourself on the street. I just finished a book that I've been reading for a while. And while I don't agree with everything the author said, he talked about the full gospel. And he talked about how narrow is the gate and how that applies to Christians. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you said the prayer, you're good. Newsflash. I think there's a lot of people in hell that have said the sinner's prayer, but they haven't surrendered. And what God is talking to us is he wants us, and Peter talks about this, he wants us to surrender. We can't take God for granted. You know, a few weeks ago we had 3 days of prayer and fasting. And you know what? It's not a one-time thing. We're going to do it again. But what happens, I mean, and there was a great turnout, but a lot of times you get excited, and the Sunday before that, man, we had a lot of people in church, and you get excited, but then you get let down. That's what happens. Look throughout the Bible. You see a lot of great movements, and God does things, but then there's attacks that come. You know, there's a lot of misleading teachings out there of what it means to be free in Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I'm forgiven, so I can live this way. No, you. How does God tell you to live? I want you to be holy, because I am holy. So new creation means new behavior on our part. First point I want to make is we need to embrace discipleship. You see, salvation changes us. We are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It changes my future, but it needs to change my present. It means I can't live the way I used to. I have to live in a way that blesses God, that you know, our actions, you can't get saved by your actions. Nobody is good enough to go to heaven. But once you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, your actions need to change. We need to look different than the world. There is so much more to the gospel message, and it's funny, I've been hearing different churches preach on this. I've been listening to the radio and reading different things that God is moving in his church, and he's saying, guys, it's a progression. You got to be all in. You know, it's time that we quit putting a foot in the water, and when it gets a little bit too hot or too cold, we bring it out. We got to go deeper. You want this church to go where God wants it to be. It's not up to me. It's not up to the elders. It's up to us saying, God, I'm all in. Peter writes, therefore. Well, actually, NLT says, so prepare your minds for action. We have some students here today. In a few weeks, they enter finals. I'm thinking they're not just going to be watching TV all the time that week. I don't think they're just going to dine on the fantastic food at the dining hall and just kick back. I remember those days, even though it was decades ago. I remember a little sleep, and I remember studying and really preparing myself to move forward and to take the finals. Peter is saying, Christians, prepare your minds for action, and we love the next three words, exercise, self-control. You want to be unpopular as a pastor? Talk about self-denial. It's a crock. I got to be me. I remember I said that to God once. I did something really stupid, and I just, in my prayer, I said, this is who I am. And I remember, sure as day, God spoke to me, that is not who I am. Do your lives reflect Christ, or do they reflect you? This is who I am. Okay, if that's your attitude, then you put a roadblock up for the Holy Spirit to move, and you will not experience the whole gospel. Salvation means we have to need to think and act in a certain way. I watched the movie Jesus Revolution, and I laughed because our church was born out of that. It was like a flashback. Now, I also know there's some pastors that didn't like that movement because we let too much of the culture in. Now, I think we have to be relevant as a church, and one of the things we're looking at is how can we be more appealing to the younger people? How can we make room? But at the same time, you know, we're not going to do fog machines. We're not going to have raised stages. We're not going to put on a show. Because worship is giving my heart to the Lord. You come to church, and I hope you come to church all prayed up. I hope you don't just get out of bed late, put a comb through your hair, eat something, throw on anything that's not wrinkled, and come to church. I hope you start praying. I hope you start praying Saturday night, Lord, touch tomorrow, man. God is going to move, because we want God to move. But guess what? We all play a part. And God is calling us, are you going to give it all up for me? My life needs to reflect what God has done for me spiritually. I like what Wayne Grudem writes. Christians can lose their spiritual concentration by being drawn into the things of this world. Yes, you know the Christian cliche, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Who owned your schedule? Who owned your finances? Who owned your, but I have to do this. Like, I mean, you know what? There are so many times I've had plans. God said no. I know what it's like to call my daughter who lives in another state a day before I'm supposed to leave because something happened in the church and say, hey, guess what? We have to cancel. And I know how sad she gets. But I gotta live for God. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a Christian. And part of the reason I'm here is I understand that. We get too caught up in the things of this world. They capture us. We have to have the latest and the greatest. I like this one soccer player. I can't remember his name. Pro player. He was getting ridiculed because he has his iPhone has a cracked screen. And he makes a lot of money. He said, why in the world would somebody with all this money have a cracked screen? He said, well, I can buy a new phone. Or I can help build hospitals in the village I come from. I can put money into the schools to better their lives. You know, I can do this. I can buy every the toys I need. But that's not going to get you anywhere. You can buy a brand new car, drive it off the lot, and you lose about 15% of the value. The gospel message includes repentance, which means I stop living the way I used to. Repentance is God, not my way, but your way. One of the things, and some people ask me, why do you mention sexuality a lot? Turn on your TV, watch the commercials, watch the shows, watch the fact that we live in a country where you can have drag queens speak to kids in libraries and we accept it. God forgive us. Why do I speak on it? Because the world shoves their lies down our throats. And if we're not in the world, I mean the word, excuse me, it's going to make sense to us. But we don't do it in a militant way. We just know the truth of God. We need to live His way. This message of the full gospel needs to be emphasized because it is a struggle not to get caught up in your own life. I do. When troubles hit, it sucks me in like a vacuum. But I have to struggle. I have to get into Word. I have to get into worship. I have to pray. I have to talk to, you know, my accountability partners. A few weeks back, Mike Bartholomew talked about the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. I give myself to God, and the Holy Spirit gives me the power to live this way. As a church moving forward, we've been focusing on unity. As change comes, we still have to embrace unity and walk together. We've talked about outreach. We're going to hit that some more because we got to be out there sharing the gospel. We're going to talk about holiness. We got to live the lives that represent Jesus Christ. When I first got saved, I had a friend in the church named Greg. I remember he told me, I think he was in his early 20s, and he was telling me how when he got saved, his dad said, "Don't do anything you wouldn't do if Jesus was right next to you." Maybe we should buy some more of those WWJD bracelets and give them all out to the church. And when you're going to put that in your mouth, or you're going to watch that on TV, or you're going to go say those words, or you're going to you look at it and say, "Whoa, would I do that if Christ was here?" I don't think that's hard-hitting. I think that's truth. We have to have hope to look to the future, and God's moving in our community. But guess what, Christians? He's telling us it's time to be all in. John MacArthur says, the heart of real discipleship is a commitment to be like Jesus Christ. That has to be my goal. The words that I speak, how I live my life, am I more Christ-like? When I was in high school, the Christians in my school scared me to death because they were squares. If you're from my time frame, they were squirrels, whatever you want to call them. And when I got saved, I did not want to be like them. But then I realized when I came to the New Covenant, like I said, Jesus Revolution, a bunch of old hippies, okay, I could still be who I am, but God's still going to mold my personality. So don't listen to the lies of the enemy. God made you to be you, but He wants you to be all in for Him. Second point I'm making is we have to have confident assurance. The word hope, it says, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. That means, this word means to have a confident expectation. When God asks you to do something, expect Him to move. I expect the Lord to move. I know He's going to move. We have 3 days of prayer and fasting, and you know what I wish? I wish that every Sunday after that, more and more people came and were bursting at the seams. And I wish that after that happened, we would kick old Slewfoot in the butt and he would leave us alone, but that's not going to happen. Because sometimes when your greatest movement's to God, the enemy comes after that. Look at Elijah. Look at different people. Look at, as I said last week, Peter walking on the water right after they saw mighty miracles from God. His faith failed. They had Jesus with them for 3 years and Peter denied him 3 times. This happens. But it doesn't mean that you get discouraged and say, yeah, we're not going anywhere. It means I expect God to move. And God, what do you want me to do about it? You know, Peter wrote this letter to encourage believers about the grace of God. You have to understand 1 Peter. In that time frame, the government was hunting Christians down, taking everything for them. They were burning them alive. They were killing them. They were separating their families. Many of them lived down under the ground in the tunnels in the city where there are tombs in the catacombs. That's where they lived so they would be safe. We don't live in a place where all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I'm doing a Bible study on 1 Peter with some guys, and I read this thing from a book I have, and the guy said, what would you do if in the middle of the night all of a sudden the government breaks down your doors? They knock you out and you find yourself in the middle of nowhere hours later and you have nothing because you're a Christian. We don't live in that world. But our religious freedoms are under attack in America. Please, please, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but please don't be naive either. So Peter is writing this. And if you want to live this out, we have a dirt part of our basement. So how about for 5 nights this week, you guys sign up and I'll set up tents in that part of the basement and you can live there for a week. I mean, that's not even the catacombs under the city. So the point I'm making is, you know, Peter's writing to people that had a whole lot worse than us. And we talk about we have to reorder our priorities. Now, it's March Madness. I am going to watch some NCAA basketball games. I may not watch them all as I did 30 years ago, but I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm not saying you can't have fun in life. That can't be the goal of your life. 1 Samuel 15 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. It's better to be obedient than to just follow every jot and tittle of the law. This is a heart attitude that God wants. How do you live? Are you holy? You got to strive to be holy. Will you be? Of course not. You're going to fail just like I do. But that doesn't mean that doesn't become the goal of my life. The pattern of my life has to reflect Jesus Christ. It says, do not conform to the evil desires. It means don't pattern your life after the world. 5 o'clock on WMHR, there's a show maybe you've heard, Core Christianity. They call in to Pastor Adriel Sanchez and they ask him some questions. And I really love listening to it. And this week somebody called in, he goes, what do you think of once saved, always saved? I'm not going to go there, what I think about it, because it doesn't matter what I think. Because the guy said, I have a friend of mine that believes in once saved, always saved. So he has sex with a whole lot of women because he knows he's going to heaven. Maybe not. I'm sorry. Personal point of view, I'm not gambling the gut dice. If my life is saying no to God and I'm embracing sin and I'm living that lifestyle, I'm not too sure I'm saved. Sorry, narrow is the gate. See, this is what happens in the world today. We go to churches and we like to listen to people. I mean, I went to Houston a couple weeks ago and I met this guy, great guy. He loves going to Joel Osteen's church. Bet you he gets a lot of conviction on Sunday. Sorry. Not sorry, as a Reese's guy would say. You gotta speak the truth. In the last days, people want to get their ears tickled. And I want to say, I'm saying this. Why do I feel like I need to bring this message? Because God has a future for us. He's doing great things here, and he wants us to press in. I need the Holy Spirit in my life to be able to deny myself because I can overcome anything but temptation. Man, you put a donut in front of me and life ain't pretty. So I need God's help to say no to myself because I don't like saying no to myself. But I know James tells us Jesus, God never tempts us, but he gives us a way out. What do you mean? You mean I don't have to watch that channel? I don't have to say those words. I don't have to, but I'm also careful to what environment I put myself in. I'm not going to R-rated movies. Why, are you legalistic? No, I know that I like to swear in my flesh. And the more I let that in, the more it becomes a part of me. And the more I open my door to that, the more it embraces me. That is sin. You never, ever say, hey, I'm going to have an affair. No, you look and say, oh, that person's attractive. Then you flirt a little bit, you get drawn in, and boom, it's a slow fade. That is sin. Oh, it's okay, I can do it just this once. Oh, it's okay. No, you can't. It will capture you when you open up that door. But the choice is ours. Ephesians tells us, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be godlike, truly righteous and holy. Lord, help us to do that. I have to be serious about God. I have to be a student of his word. I have to have a prayer life. I have to listen to his music. I find I got all kinds of music collections, but if I listen to too much secular stuff, it captures me. I love Neil Young's old stuff, and I could listen to that all day. But if I do that, it captures me. So I'm careful how much I let in, and I make sure I'm listening to praise. There's a new song, all of a sudden I can't, Brandon Lake maybe his name is, Gratitude. Listen to it. It says, his soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your voice, you got a lion inside of your lung. It's all about encouragement. I listen to that song. I put it on at home, and man, you should see my wife sing to it. She does a good job. We have fun. You got to minister to yourself. We need to conform to Christ. This has to be the goal. Why this message? Why now? Because God is speaking to this church. Trust me. Let go. Those who keep their life, Jesus says, you lose it. But if you lose it for him, you gain eternity. I need to be eternally minded. We need to embrace the full gospel. We are sanctified. We are set apart. If you talk to one of your closest friends or your neighbors, and you said, hey, I'm a born-again Christian, I hope they wouldn't say, you are? I hope they think, yeah, I knew something's up. We live in chaotic times. When you embrace the life that God has for you and you surrender to him, you will get ridiculed. You will get mocked out by your friends and family. But excuse me, when it hits the fan, they will turn to you because you have truth. I've shared this before. As the youngest of three boys, get saved, my dad told me I was brainwashed. When he went through a really hard time years later, who'd he call? You usually don't call the youngest in the family. Because there's something in me that he saw. We won't get there without the full gospel message, which is salvation, which is repentance, but then it is a full surrender of my life. Jesus, here's my life. I am signing the deed over to you. I am going to go where you call me to go. I am going to do what you call me to do. And when I fail, and oh, I will fail, I am going to pick myself up. I am going to ask for forgiveness, and I am going to move forward. Verse 13, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Christ Jesus is revealed to the world. I don't know when that's going to be. Could be today, could be tomorrow, it could be 50 years from now. It does not matter. Because each and every day of my life, I have to live a set apart life. And God is speaking to this church, and let me dare say, he is speaking to New Covenant. He is calling some of you by name because you haven't been all in. You have kept God at a distance because I got to live this part of my life for me because I love to be me. You can, but you're going to fall short, and you will not experience the fullness of God. And it's not his fault. If I said to my kids, hey, I got $1 million, but you got to come meet me in Morrisville on May 12th. And they didn't, I'm $2 million richer because they didn't show up. I'm not giving it to them. God is telling us to be holy. Verse 15, but you must be holy in everything you do. Don't try to mimic the world. Don't try to look like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world. Be a light in your community. There's a false narrative, as I said earlier, that times have changed and the Bible isn't as relevant as it once was. If somebody tells you that, please run the opposite direction and don't listen to them anymore. Because Hebrews 13:8 tells us what? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we are more enlightened today, really. Would you please read about the Roman culture and other cultures from thousands of years ago and see what kind of sin they had? Forgive me, there's nothing new under the sun. It's not all of a sudden we understand stuff. Read Romans 1. As God talks about people give in to sin, God gives them over to the hardness of your heart. When you reject conviction, when you ignore conviction, God in his love for you lets your heart become hard so you start to dismiss more and more of the gospel. Take up your cross daily. They understood it when Jesus told them that. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. When he said to the disciples, take up your cross daily and deny yourself, you know what they envisioned? By the side of the road, a cross with dead people hanging on it. And he was telling them, I want you to daily live like this. We look at the cross and we're happy and joyful because it's empty because Jesus went to heaven. I like what Paul Wagner, our pastor, used to say. I'd rather wear an electric chair around my neck. That's what the cross is. So when he said to the people, take up your cross daily, he's telling them, I want you to die to yourself and live for me. Summary, embrace discipleship, which is full surrender. I know this is a hard speech message today. I want to encourage you that God is calling us deeper. He's saying, I have it, but you got to come in. The gospel doesn't end at salvation. Repentance and surrender is needed. In fact, it's mandatory. We're called to be holy. We need to make the effort. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. There is a war spiritually going on. I grow weary of reading of strong Christians who have walked away. Maybe they struggle with the concept of hell. Very often, it's the concept of sexuality. They listen to the lie that the Bible was written by men, which it was, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You wrote it. using men as instruments. Lord, all of us can read things we don't like in the Bible. I remember years ago, Lord, I was in a deep depression. This person was praying over me. They're about to give me this word, and I knew it was going to be so amazingly encouraging. And the word was, when the worker comes in from the field, he doesn't feed himself, but he then prepares the meal for his master. It didn't really rock my world. But you spoke to me saying, I need to surrender all. Not look for my comfort. Not look for my fulfillment, but to fulfill the call that you've placed on my life. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to place our trust in you. Even now as I close, Lord, show us the places of our lives that you're putting your hand on. It might be our schedule. I don't know. I'm not going to get into topics. But you're speaking to us, Lord God. We can say yes. We can say no. If we say wait, that's saying no. Help us to trust you to be the men and women that you have called us to be. Peter says, we must be holy because you are holy. Help us to realize, Lord, we need to prepare ourselves. Forgive me for the places where I haven't, Lord. Let us be encouraged this morning, Father. Let us surrender our all to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessings.